Good morning, church. I want to thank the Sunday school for taking some of my time so I don't need to preach so long. Because Elder Brian said I only have 40 minutes. Not only me, all speakers only have 40 minutes to preach. And looking at the Sunday school just now reminds me of a story I just read as I was, you know, looking for illustrations. Pastor Tony Campolo, I'm sure many of you have heard of him, a very famous pastor. And he said that as he looked back to the history of the church that baptized him, you know, the church is closed already because he says that the last thing they did, you know, before the church closed down was they baptized 3 9-year-old children. He says he was one of them. After that, the church closed down. And the second one became a missionary to Africa. And the third one was a professor of one of the seminaries. Three insignificant 9-year-old. Just now, as I sat there, you know, the nugget boy asked, you know, is the end come from the nugget? Probably one day he'll be a Billy Graham, who knows? You know, so Sunday school teachers, don't be discouraged. Normally, the naughtiest one will, you know, eventually become a pastor. I'm one of those. Now, this morning, the topic I'm sharing is, you know, the benefits of church membership. The benefits of church membership. The reason I asked, you know, Elder Brian to speak on this is, I realize in many churches, there are regular worshippers who have been in the church for many years, but somehow they have not joined as a member of a church. And also in the church, there are also members who are not in the care group for whatever reason. So this morning, I want to share with you, you know, the benefits of church membership, the benefits of a care group. And after this, none of you up there and down here can ever give an excuse when you go to heaven and say, I don't know why should I join a church. I don't know why, you know, I should be in a care group. I'm sure now the angels are taking a video of all of you here, upstairs and downstairs. None of you, you know, I can't remember you. You know, even if I asked to be a witness, was he there? I don't know, you know. But the angels will show the video, you are there on a certain day. Then Pastor Song, you know, preach on the importance of church membership, and you're not a member of a church, and you're not, you know, join the care group. Now, Rick Warren, in his bestseller, The Purpose-Driven Life, he says that one day God will ask us all only two questions. The first question is, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? And the second question is, what did you do with what I have given to you? You know, your life, your family, the spiritual gifts, your talents, your opportunities, you know, your relationships, all the resources that God has given to us. What have you done with them? Now, the first one, the question will determine where you spend eternity. That is for non-Christians. You know, if today, I'm not sure how many non-Christians are here normally in a worship service, you know, that most of the people will be Christians. But there may be non-Christians here, you know. If you are, then I will urge you, you know, to believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Then you will spend your time eternally with our Lord. The second question, you know, will determine what you do in eternity. What you do in eternity. You remember the parable our Lord talks about, the three servants given, 1 5 talents, 1 2 talents, and 1 1 talent. And all of them one day have to give an account of all that the Lord has given to them. You know, not just your spiritual gifts, but, you know, your family, and then your talents, your time, your love, and your concern, whatever that you have been possessed. You see, none of us came into this world with a lot of gifts. None of us bring anything into the world. You know, that's why Job says, naked I come into the world and naked I go. You know, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes it away. None of us. You can take nothing with you. You know. And last night I was in at a dinner, you know, with one of my old friends, son got married. And One of them asked another person around my age, he said, "Have you been to Israel?" He said, "You know, I've been twice already. Have you? You were so expensive, you know, $12,000, you know, nowadays to go, but I've been twice, you know." And then he said, "Not that you cannot afford, you know, you can't take anything with you. You have the money. This guy have the money. Why are you not going to Israel with the money? We cannot take anything that we have, our houses, our FD, none of us can take, you know. So all of us will be asked one day, you know, before God, what you have done with all the spiritual gifts that God has given to you." And then Rick Warren, in his another bestseller, even before, you know, The Purpose-Driven Life, he says the Purpose-Driven Church. He gives five benefits of being a church member. If you have your bulletin, take this back with you. I think Pastor Ching Chong has done a good job. You know, here he says seven reasons, you know, seven advantages of long-term church membership. This is taken from Christianity Today. I'm sure, you know, I always admire Pastor Ching Chong. You know, he always find very appropriate articles for the topic of the day. I can't do that. I'm a computer illiterate. You know, I can't do that, but he does a good job. So seven here plus five I'm going to give you. You have 12 reasons to join, to be a church member. Now, the first thing here it tells us, the first reason is it identifies a person as a genuine believer. That's the first reason that Rick Warren gives. You know, and he takes Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2, 19. You have your Bibles, you turn to it and see what does it say. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." Members of God's household, that is the NIV version. The Living Bible says members of God's very own family. And today's English version says that members of the family of God. See, the moment you become a Christian, you are part of this family of God. You know, God's household, family. And I always say, you know, Christians, we have three families or three homes. First, of course, is the home that, you know, we are born with, our physical home. Secondly, is this spiritual family, brothers and sisters in law. This is our home. And the third, of course, is our heavenly home, when we one day go back to the Lord. So Christians, we have three homes. But here he's talking about, you know, this spiritual family. We are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. We always say it's blood is thicker than water. We are talking, of course, our brothers and sisters, you know, our physical brothers and sisters. But we are also, you know, blood is thicker than water, the blood of Christ, who died for us, and because of his blood, we are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. So we are in this family, and God's will is for all of us Christians, you know, that we should meet regularly together as a family to fulfill the mission that God wants us to do in this church or in this community. So the first reason is the moment you become a Christian, you know, it identifies you, you know, as a family of this local church that God has put us. Second reason is it provides a spiritual family to support and encourage them in their walk with Christ. That's the second reason. I think it's, I forgot to tell them. I think it's I used it last night. You look for it. Five benefits, you know, of church membership is already there. I forgot to tell them to put it on so that y'all can copy it down. The second reason it is, you know, it provides a spiritual family to support and encourage them in their walk with Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. You can take it down afterwards, you know, when they put it up. It should be there. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1 and 2, it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." You see, brothers and sisters, we are in this family. The first reason is, and because we are in the family, we, you know, it provides you this spiritual family for us to, you know, to support and encourage us in our walk with Christ. Support and encourage these two words. How much we need that as we walk along life's way. How much we need that. You see, Satan is watching and want to tempt us every step of our way. And the world is waiting, you know, in full armory to shoot us down. And our flesh, you know, those sensuous desires of ours, you know, would tempt us to its limits. And without support and encouragement as we walk along life's way, among our fellow travelers, we will fall. Alone, we are like sitting ducks. As a pastor, you know, for so many years, I've often been asked, you know, Pastor, can't I be a Christian without joining a church? My answer is yes. I mean, the moment you accept Christ and pray the sinner's prayer, you know, you're a Christian. But is that what the Bible is teaching? There was a family one time in a church I was pastoring, you know, he was not happy with some of the things that the church is doing, and he says, you know, Pastor, I don't want to come to this church. I don't want to go to any church, you know, all church have problems. I want to stay at home, and I will be, you know, the pastor. Every Sunday we will meet, and we will have a family worship. I said, that's good. I mean, if you can do that, he did it for 2 months, and there's no more reading. You know, you cannot do it on your own. Continue. How long can you do it? We need each other, you know, to encourage one another, you know, to support one another. You see, so, you know, somebody has said, you know, it's like climbing mountain. You know, I don't know how many of you have climbed mountain. I've never climbed before. but I told mountain climbers, you know, they were tie a rope, you know, with 10 of them there. You know, they were tie a rope and they were climb. So if any one of them slip and fall, there's still the 9 to hold them. If there's no rope, the moment you fall, hello, goodbye, see you down there, you know. Nobody to uphold you. So, you know, the church is like that. All of us are climbing up, to the mountain, to the Lord. And all of us will fall. Pastors also have fallen. I also have fallen. I also have left the church sometime. But I come back because brothers and sisters come and visit me, come and encourage me. But without that, I would have fallen. I would have left. You see? So it is so important for us, you know, to encourage one another, you know, to support and encourage one another. Because in our life there will be joys and sorrows, you know, and that's where I come, you know, to the care group. Why do we need to join in a care group? You know, church experts have done a survey of thousands over churches all over the world. And they found one common factor in all the churches that are growing. And that is all of them have small groups. You can call them small groups. You can call them cell group. You can call them Bible study group. Whatever you call it, lah, you know. But there will be a church, you know, the churches that grow with. They have small groups where they are together, where they support and grow together. You see, when the church is so big, you know, church experts also have done, when the church is bigger than 50, one pastor cannot deal with them anymore. And our church is so big, you know, on Sunday, we say hello, goodbye, that's all. We don't know each other. But if you have in a care group, you know, then that care group will be able to support you. DUMC call that the cell church. You know, and they always say, you know, the cell church is they grow because of the small group. You see, in Korea, thousands of people, you know, in one church and 4 or 5 services. How can one pastor take care of that? So with that small group, they will call them, you know, lay pastors. Normally, you know, the care group leader doesn't like that term, you know, it's very intimidating. You call them a lay pastor or even deacons, they don't like. You just call them care group leaders, you know. And the care group leaders will take care of your small group. I heard recently that there's one care group in our church, yeah, sometimes they meet 40-something people, you know. It's too big, you know. An ideal number will be from 12 to 15. Then you can take care of them. And the care group is, you know, when you're in a group and your leader will take care, if something happens, you know, your care group leader will be there. you will have that group to take care of you. And if you cannot count him, then you ring up the pastor, then the pastor will go, you know, and do it. But the pastor cannot be, at the moment we have three pastors, hopefully Pastor Wallace will come in, we have four. Even four pastors cannot take care of all of you upstairs, downstairs, you cannot. You know, and the service in the evening, we cannot. So we need the care group. And so Rick Warren has, you know, broken in the care, C-A-R-E, you know, into care. The first one, C, is to contact. It's a good time, for, you know, where you can contact each other. Sometimes you invite people to come to church, they don't want to come to church. But if you hold it in your house, either an anniversary or a birthday or whatever occasion, you invite your neighbors to come, it's easier for them to come, you know, to your place, and even for newcomers. You know, last night, after I spoke, there was a brother sitting in the third row there. You know, he was praying by himself. Almost everybody has gone. So I went over and spoke to him, you know. And I said, are you praying for something? You know, can I pray for you? And he said, Pastor, I've been coming to this church for quite long already, you know. But I didn't notice, you know, I'm coming. And actually, I'm looking for a care group too. You know, is there any care group in Subang? He was asking me, you know. I looked at the list that Pastor Isaac gave me. Actually, I couldn't find any care group, any Subang care group. Not that I know of. No, there's no. Because he's staying in Subang, he's asking. You know, and as we were speaking, Dr. Jenny was also here. She came in, you know, and talked. You said, I also come here, but quite long also, I'm not joined the church. It's for you, it's for you. This sermon is for you, because he's talking about church membership. So that we need to have a small group of people to care for one another. Recently, where Brother Tan Teng Ho passed away, his care group was the one who led the wake service. They were there to support the wife and the family and the two daughters. And also another wake service, Jimmy, passed away. He wasn't in a church for very long. But because he joined the care group is also a care group, you know, the Caris, that's the biggest care group, 100 over people. But they meet on Friday, and then they meet on Monday for prayer. And also before that, Brother Sinki also take them through Bible study. And because he has been there for a few months, all the care group people came on the night of his service. Because none of you know him, Brother Jimmy, very few of you, he's a very quiet person. None of you. But because he was in that care group, a lot of them came. And even on his, you know, for his funeral, the next day, a few of them came. And also Anthony's father also passed away. Some of the care groups that has been disbanded in Siri Pataling, you know, when they heard about his passing away, all the care group members came, disbanded. But because of the relationship they had, you know, even the leader who has already left the church and in another church, he came and be with them. You see, so it's so important for us, you know, to have this contact, this care for one another. Secondly, of course, is assist, you know. That's why I say, you know, the care group assists one another, because the church is so big, only the office staff and some of the pastors can help them. But the care group is the one who really take care of them. And also relate, you know, the relationship with one another, you know. So C-A-R, really, and then the E is to encourage one another, you know, to encourage. And it's so important for us to encourage one another. As I was sharing last night, you know, I think even in churches, to criticize is so easy. You know, all of us are born with the gift of criticizing, you know, anybody, you know, this one not doing well, that one not doing well. But to encourage, we need more encouragement. Then you criticize and run people down, you know. I say I've been a pastor for almost 40 years, you know. My back got holes, so many people, so many holes, people can shoot me, also cannot touch me, it will go right through, you know. I really used to all the attacks from everybody, you know. It cannot hurt me anymore, you know. So once you're a leader, not just the pastors, you know, even the elders, even ministry leaders, and those are the people who criticize are the people not doing anything. You know, they only just like to you know, give plans to do this, to do that, but you ask them to do, they don't want to do. Okay? So it is important for us, you know, to encourage one another. This book I read, you know, Boardroom Confidence, written by Bob Beale and Ted Edson. Together, they have 50 years of experience running, you know, and they have been involved in 80 boards, Christian boards. And they say three things, you know, as a leader, we must always do. First, you know, is appreciate. As a leader, you must appreciate the things that everybody is doing, you know, for us. You know. Secondly, you must recognize. And third, you need to encourage. These are the three things every ministry leader, not just the elders, not just the pastors, not just the deacons, these three things, remember. You know, those who are working with you, always appreciate them. Not flatter them, but appreciate them. Sometimes we take for granted, you know, if you're a pastor, you should be doing that, lah. Otherwise, why you're a pastor? You know, you're a leader, you're an elder, you should be doing this, but otherwise, why should you be an elder? We take things for granted. We don't appreciate. You know, so appreciate, and then, of course, you recognize. Recognize what they're doing, that they're doing more than, you know, more than their share, and then encourage them so that they can continue, you know, to serve the Lord. Here it says, you know, appreciation is thanking, giving thanks. Recognition is seeing, you see it, you know, and then encouragement is bring hope for the future. When you encourage a person, he will continue to do more and more and more. Of course, as, you know, as a leader, we are not looking for these things, but it would be good if people can encourage. You know, this morning, even I was, you know, I was shaking hands with Mr. Liu. He said, "Hey, Pastor, I'd like to hear you preach, you know, short sermon to the point, you know." Yes, well, thank you for encouragement. That's exactly, you know, exactly what I'm going to preach, you know, encouraging. We need encouragement. All of us need encouragement, you know. Even Pastor Isaac was, you know, was sharing with me. He said, when he was speaking here, he also feel very stressful. I thought I was the only one feeling stressful, you know. But he said, no. He said, he called me cocky, lah, you know. He said, okay, when I preach, yeah, I also feel stressful. The only person I feel not stressful preaching here is Brother Yok Ming. When Brother Yok Ming preach, yeah, he will walk around like taking a slow walk here. maybe it's a way of distressing now, you know. But if I walk like him, mom, his short legs, I think I'll be panting after I walk, you know. So I cannot distress like that, you know. You know? So all of us, you know, even Elder Brian say, when he preaches, you know, he also feels stressful. Nobody is up here is not stressful. We were stressful because we don't know. Preparing the sermon is already stressful. It takes 20 hours to prepare a sermon, you know. 20 hours, at least 20 hours to prepare and read and read and then cut here, cut there, cut here, you know. Thank God now we have the computer. Last time, you know, we write, type, and then you have to do the whole thing again. You know, now we can just delete and add on. It's much easier. But yet, you know, for all the ministry leaders, we need people to encourage us so that we can continue to serve the Lord. So here, you know, support and encouragement. Third is, it gives us a place to discover and use our spiritual gifts. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, we cannot read that. It's too long a passage. If we go back and read it, talking about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to verse 27. Now, just in passing, you know, chapter 14. As a pastor, I have also been asked, you know, Pastor, can I speak? Can we speak in tongues? You know, I'm not going to speak. You know, I'm not going to speak in tongues now. But, you know, ask them to go back and read chapter 14. If you have time, go through that with them. That is just the best chapter on give you an answer whether you can speak in tongues or not, or how you speak in tongues. Now, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, go back and read it, then at least you know, these are the points. Yeah, you can speak in tongues because, you know, don't stop people speaking, but there are certain things that you need to keep. You know, so 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is the best, you know, it's from the Bible to answer the question whether we can speak in tongues or not. But here in, you know, spiritual gifts, you see, when you are in the church, it gives you a place to discover and use, you know, your spiritual gifts. You know? And this will help you to answer, you know, God and say, you know, God has given you the spiritual gifts. What are you going to do with it? You see, in a small group, in a church like here, You know, you don't suddenly put somebody up here to lead in the singing. You'll be very distressful for him. Also, you don't know how is he doing. But you, in a small group, you can ask him to lead in a devotion. You can ask him, you know, to lead in a song. And then from there, you discover whether he can do it or not. And slowly as he practices, you know. But there's the only place you can do. You see? So it gives us, you know, a place to discover your gifts whereby you serve God. Rick Warren in his book also, not just spiritual gifts. You know, and before I read his book, I thought, you know, we just serve God with our spiritual gifts. No. You know, he used the word shape, S-H-A-P-E. You use the shape, not this shape lah, use a shape to serve God. S stands for spiritual gifts. That's why all we know. So first thing, you serve God with your spiritual gifts. The H stands for your heart. That means your passion. Now, all of us has a passion for something that God has put in our heart. Some maybe like Sunday school, maybe young people, some go for mission, you know, some charity, you know. So all of us are wired differently. So whatever passion God has given to you, apart from the spiritual gifts, the H stands for your heart, your passion. And then A stands for your ability. Apart from the spiritual gifts, God also gives you some ability to do what. So use your ability. Your P is your personality. You know, use your personality. Some people can talk. Some people are very quiet. Like I shared with you, Brother Jimmy, even his elder brother and his nephew and niece, he's a very quiet person. He doesn't like to talk much, you know. But he had touched lives in you know, with that personality, he has touched lives in Carrie's group. And also give opportunities for people to care for him, to talk to him, because he doesn't like to talk. So that is his personality. So we use that personality also, you know, to serve God. And then the E stands for your experience. All of us has different experience. I remember one time in front of Emmanuel Baptist Church, there's an orphanage. There's a lady there, you know, starting an orphanage. And one time I walked over to talk to her, and he says, Pastor, you know, I started this orphanage because my only son died in an accident. And for 3 years, I never went to church. I blame God. I only had one son. Why did you take it away? I was so hurt. You know, I scold God. I argue with him. I ask why? But after the 3 years, you know, somehow God put in my heart to start an orphanage. I lost one son. Now I have hundreds of children. Every year they come back, you know, and they talk to me and call me mommy, you know. So God used the experience of her. It's not wasted to start an orphanage to bless so many orphanages, so many people, you know. So God used different experience, you know, that God has put into each and every one of us for a reason. No experience that, you know, you have experienced is ever lost. Good experience, bad experience, God will use it. So you use that shape that God has shaped you, you know, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your ability, your personality, and your experience to serve God. You see, about serving God, you know, the experts have done a survey, and they find out actually in any church, only 20% of the people are serving the Lord. 80% are not doing anything. They just come on Sunday, you know, listen, and then they go back. And it's 20%, you know, are doing, and 80% are sitting down. Imagine if only 20% of your body, your organs are working, how healthy will you be? And so it's the same thing with the church, you know. Imagine if we turn that around, if 80% of our members are doing something for the Lord, and 20% not doing, how powerful the church will be. Not the other way around. You know, and you know, Rick Warren also have done some statistics, and he says, about half of all the people who joined the church, you know, by, you know, drop out in the first 6 months. Half of them who joined the church, you know, they drop out by the first 6 months. And those who join normally are made up of three types of people. He says, the first one is their experience with God is firsthand. They have an encounter with the Lord. That's why they can stay on. You know, like Paul, You know, like Zacchaeus, like the woman at the well who met the Lord. It was an encounter that they can't forget. Something happened in their lives. And as I shared with you, you know, at my former church, you know, that the brother Alan, you know, the wife, the heart stopped. And something hit his knee. He just knelt down and he prayed. He said, Lord, if the doctor said, your heart is already gone, you know, stop breathing, you know. And sometimes he said, I don't know what happened, you know, something hit me and I knelt down and said, Lord, you give me back my wife and I serve you the rest of my life. Ding! He said, it's like a miracle, you know. The Lord answered him then. And he stood up. Amazing. Hey, come, my wife came back already. He told all the nurse to rush in. You know, and the wife came back, and to this day, he's serving the Lord. Here, he was a contractor, you know, those highways, roads, you know, he goes here and there, you know. Today, I just recently spoke in the church, and he's now the chairman of the church. You know, he became, we call that a council member, he became a council member. And he says, every time also, I want to resign, you know, Pastor, but I dare not, you know, the promise. I dare not. I think of that. I dare not already. I say, Lord, I will serve you the rest of my life, you know. You know, I say, he feels discouraged, but definitely. You ask all the council members, all the deacons, you know, we feel discouraged. I want to give up, like, you know, every time get people scold. I want to give up. Lord, I don't want to work anymore. But because of his promise, he stayed on. Now he's the chairman of Cornerstone Baptist Church. You see, my friend, the encounter is so important. You know, the encounter firsthand. The second one is, you know, the second type of people is the experience with God is secondhand. Their faith does not come, you know, from God, but from surrounding, maybe read books, you know, maybe services, maybe relatives, maybe boyfriend, girlfriend, parents, grandparents, you know, relatives, force them to go to church. When our church was in Bukit Brown, Sister Joyce was there as administrator, we chose that Bukit Brown because of MMU. We want to serve the MMU students. And in that church, you know, MMU, we discovered, one church did a survey, there were 2,000 Christian young people there. But out of that, only 10% went to church. Only 200 of them went to church. When I was a pastor there, you know, I have friends coming from all different states, and they, hey, Pastor Song, you take care of my son. One time he said, you take care of my son and make sure he goes to church. You know, because I'm going to live here, he'll be here for 3 years. I say, sure, you know, I take care of him. I say, Nana, your daddy asked me to take care of you. I make sure you come to church every Sunday. He say, yeah, I come to church every Sunday. 2 months' time, gone already. Yeah, because of the parents were there. The parents, but once they are no more with their parents, then they're free to do whatever they want because they don't have an encounter with the Lord. So when my son went to China, the first thing my wife prayed for him is, make sure you go to church. Find a church and you go there. That is the most important thing. When the best thing you can ever give your children is God. Not your money, not your possessions. Give them God. So whatever happens to them, it doesn't matter. You know, you have the church to pray for them. You have the church to support them. That is the greatest gift as parents we can ever give our children. Never leave God. Never leave a church. Then as a pastor, we don't have much to leave for our children. But for that, they promise us, you know, we can die in peace. Knowing that, you know, whatever happens to them, you know, they will have a church, they will have God to take care of them. We can't be there with our children or our lives. Now some of the children are already empty nest, isn't it? They're already overseas. What do they? Make sure that they go to church. Pastor them to go to church. But you have to start young. From day one, like their Sunday school. You know, you have to bring them. Once they are teenagers, you cannot force them to do anything already. Start young, from very young babies. Dr. Joy carrying the baby. Yeah, isn't it? From young, you bring them to church. And then they have also done surveys and found out if from young they go to church, even if they leave the church one day and go back to the world, somehow they will come back. Somehow they will come back. The Sunday school song. I shared with you one time I was asked to go to the hospital to pray for a person who had cancer, you know. And the moment he saw me, he said, Pastor, I want to confess before God. You know, from very young, in a small village, I went to church. And I still remember Jesus loved me, this I know, you know, a little, that song I still, but because of the world, I left, you know. He was a teacher, you know. And then he say, you know, I give tuition, I make so much money, but I left God. Now I'm dying already. And suddenly, God bring back those words I heard from when I was very young. Jesus loves me. I'm dying already. So if Jesus loves me, can I come to the Lord now? Will God forgive me? I said, yes. Remember the thief on the cross? Last breath. And the Lord said, today be with me in paradise. He was crying. 50-year-old man crying. You see, from young, he has gone to church. And God will bring back all those words that he has learned. You know, he has saved there, like your computer saved there. Then it will come back to him. So it's so important for us, you know, that, you know, from very young, we will bring them to the Lord. So the second group of people, you know, it is, you know, the second hand. The third one, the third group, it is not first hand, not second hand, you know, but it's the third group of people is externally related to the church. No experience, no environment. They just come to church and they just go, you know. So in any church, we only have one third of members who really know what conversion is really about. Two-thirds needs conversion. You know, isn't it very sad? You know, two-thirds needs conversion. And the survey says that for every 10 members who join the church for baptism, 10 years later, two of them would have gone to heaven, one dropped out, three have become non-resident, maybe they have moved somewhere, and four are still in the church. But out of the four, half of them, you know, are only active in church. So out of the 10 baptized if every year, only two are active in the church. That's why churches seldom grow. It doesn't mean, oh, I have a baptism, you know, 10 people baptized. You know, 10 years later, you only have two left, you know. So we need to really join the church so that we can encourage one another. Encourage one another, you know. And the fourth reason is it places them under the spiritual protection of godly leaders. Hebrews, you know, chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Very important, you know, for us. You know, the moment you become a church member, you're under the spiritual umbrella of the church. And the leaders will take care of you. The leaders will take care of you. But if you're not, you know, if you're not even in the care group where we know you, you know, at least your care group leader will know you. But once you become a leader, you know, we will know whether you are there or not. You see, in my previous care group, you know, the care group leader will take that's why I say 12 to 15 is the best number. So we tell the care group leaders, we meet once a month and tell them, you know, every Sunday you look out for your care group and see who is not there. You know, of course, if they're outstation or if they're sick, you know it's okay. But if you don't know, first thing you do after service is to call them up, to care for them. They may have some problems you don't know. They may be sick that you don't know. But that is the ministry of the care group leader, to call the person who is not there on Sunday. As a pastor, as an elder, how do we know who is absent, who is not? I mean, even if you have a register, so many people here. But the care group leaders, once, you know, division by labor, once you have the care groups, we have 22 care groups, 22 care groups. The care group leader will see who is not there and then care for the person. Then the person will feel cared for. And if he needs a pastor to visit, tell us, then we will go and visit them, you know. So you're under the spiritual umbrella, you know, of the church leadership, you know, whereby we pray for you, we care for you, we teach and preach, you know. And the last one, it gives them an accountability they need to grow. Ephesians 5:21. You know, all of us need to grow. One of the sad things of a church is that, you know, somebody say there's so many spiritual babies in any church. So many spiritual babies. You know, those are small children, also difficult to take care of. What about spiritual babies? cry here, cry there, you know. Then, if like our church, if half our spiritual babies finish for us, how to take care of so many spiritual babies, you know? Babies, they demand this, demand that, you know, you cry, also don't know what they want, you know. They won't tell you, they only criticize, you know, then what to do? So the pathetic thing in the church is that there's so many spiritual babies who doesn't grow up. So we need to grow. That's why Paul said, you know, don't go back to the ABCs of Christianity. You all of us need to grow up. We thank God now our church, we have this Christian education where we ask seminary lecturers to come and teach, and we thank God so many of you have signed up. It's good. We need to know the word. You need to know the word. You know, then you know whether pastor is preaching right or wrong. I always say, you know, none of us can supersede this Bible. This is our authority. You know? So if you don't know your word, how do you know what we are saying is wrong or right? I always tell members, if what the pastor is teaching is not from the Bible, you can tell him it's not in the Bible. You know, it's not in the Bible. But if you don't know, I really think, oh, pastor, you know, sure must know. No. Pastors sometimes, oh, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes they know a little bit, you know. They think they know a lot. But if you know the word of God, you can tell it is not what the word says. What? You know, like the coming of Jesus. Some people already chart the thing and say, you know when the Lord is coming. Very clearly, the Bible says, no, the Lord said, even I do not know when, you know, when my second coming is. Only God the Father knows. But some pastors tell you they know. Then who are you going to believe? Oh, the pastor, very famous one, you know. Thousands of people listening, television pastors, you must believe him. No. If this is not what the word says, you can tell them this is not in God. This is our authority. Not any pastor, not any pope. This is our authority. But if you don't know the word, then how? So you need to know the word yourself, you know. So we have the accountability, you know, to grow in the Lord. And the church, when you join the church, we will, you know, encourage you to study the word of God. Rick Warren says, you know, for a Christian that's not connected to a church, it's like a footballer without a team. Even if you are Ronaldo or Messi, you know, you cannot play football alone. But, you can't. You need a team so that you can exercise the gifts, you know. Or it's like a soldier without an army. You know, if you are a Christian without a church, it's like a soldier without an army. Or a musician, you may be, you know, very good musician without an orchestra. How can you perform? You know, or a sheep without a flock. Lonely sheep, the prodigal son, you know. That's why lost sheep, you know, one gone here, there, cannot find your way home. The other sheep didn't call you. As I say, you know, if you get lost, the other sheep, you know, the nine sheep will call you back, 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 come back, come back, come back. You're only sheep there, got lost, down also, no, nothing, can't do anything. Yeah. But the last one is the best. You see, it's like a child without a family. This is more biblical. If a child without a family, you are an orphan, my friend. You are a Christian orphan. You don't have this spiritual family. You want to be a child without an orphan? One time I was visiting an orphanage. There was a small Indian girl there, you know, alone by herself. You know, I waved, come over here. The moment she came near, I just hugged her. And she hugged me back and she started crying. He says, Pastor, nobody has ever hugged me. The hug was so important to her because she's an orphan, born without parents. She doesn't know who her parents was. And I'm wondering why those caretakers, never hugged her. She needed that hug because she was an orphan. My friend, if you are a Christian, you need that hug from brothers and sisters here too. When you face problem, you know, when you're down there, when you want somebody to uphold you, you have all these brothers to hold you, and we will walk this way together. Walk up to the Lord together. We need each other. You can never be alone as a Christian. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you again for your word this morning. We pray, Lord, you have spoken to your people. We pray, Lord, that your word will continue to be with those who have not joined our church as a member, those who are not in care groups, that you, the Holy Spirit, will move in their hearts, Lord, that they will join our church as a member, so that we want to take care of them, Lord. We want them to walk together with us along life's way. We know Satan is always there, watching and wanting to devour us, Lord. We know the world also want to tempt us. We know our sensuous desires also want us down. We pray, Lord, that this church, by joining as a member, will uphold one another, encourage one another, so all of us, Lord, will one day meet you and be said to us, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us. Help this church to grow. We pray for the elders. We pray for the deacons. We pray for all the ministry leaders. At this junction, you have put us all together, Lord, and you want us to be united in you for the good of this church, so that we may reach more people for you, Lord. Bless Pantai Baptist Church, the Chinese congregation, the Mandarin congregation, the Bahasa, and we also have a Filipino group, Lord. Bless all of us as we bless and reach more people for you. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen.